I'm John Kroll. Today on No Limits, we're going to dive deep into the world of sports. We're going to talk about the Indiana Sports Corporation's upcoming Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race. We're also going to discuss the impact that sports have played in the development of Indianapolis. My guests are Craig Lippincott, Indiana Sports Corporation's Director of Business Development, and Chris Panyard, Indiana Sports Corporation Event Manager. To join the conversation, please call 866-476-3881. You can email us at nolimitswfyi.org, or you can find us on social media. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about sports in Indianapolis and Indiana. The hook is the Indiana Sports Corporation's new Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race. We're really going to be talking about everything sports-related here in central Indiana and the role that sports have played in the development of this city and state. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimitswfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Craig Lippincott. He is the Indiana Sports Corporation's Director of Business Development, and Chris Panyard, who is the Indiana Sports Corporation's Event Manager. Welcome to both of you.
Thank you
so much for having us.
It's good to have you both here. Well, tell me about the Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race. I bet that's hard to get on a business card. But
that's right, yeah. It's a fun one to talk about because this event is really exciting, not only for Indiana Sports Corp, but just the community. It's such a neat undertaking where we have partners from all different facets of the city that are involved on putting together an adventure race that'll run folks really through, over and around a lot of the landmarks and venues that make Indianapolis such a great place to live.
What day are we talking about? What day is the race? I'll throw that one to you, Chris.
Yeah, the event will take place Saturday, April 30th of this year.
Okay. And we've talked about events. Give me an idea of what the course is going to be. It's obviously not just where you go to a track and run laps or anything like that.
Yeah, so the course is actually 6 miles long, and it includes stops throughout our city's most iconic landmarks and sports venues. So it'll actually start on New York Street near Military Park, and will include stops at Carroll Stadium, Lucas Oil Stadium, Bankers Life Fieldhouse, Victory Field, and many other landmarks throughout the city.
And what at these stops, what will be happening at them?
So what's unique Great. About the Indy Ultimate, you won't just be running by all these mm-hmm. neat landmarks. You'll actually be engaging with the different sports amenities, the cultural aspects, and then we have a large military component along the route as well. So, for example, at Carroll Stadium, you'll be shooting a soccer goal just like the Indy 11 do while you're there. Then you'll run to Victory Field where you'll actually run the bases and be on the diamond there, leading then to Lucas Oil Stadium where you'll...
Oh, I bet the turf guys just love that.
Oh, don't they? Yeah. They've won awards for it.
Yeah. But anyhow, you go... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but you go from Victory Field to Lucas Oil.
Down to Lucas Oil where we'll have the participants kick a field goal, attempt a field goal at least. And then they head up to Georgia Street and over to Bankers Life Fieldhouse where you'll be able to shoot a shot where the Pacers play. And then, as I mentioned, there's really three components to the race. The sports are certainly something that are close to our organization, but we want this to be a community-wide effort that not only promotes the sports background of Indianapolis, but also the military heritage and the arts and culture. So after you run through these great sports venues, you'll head up towards the Soldiers and Sailors Monument on Monument Circle, before you head to the Indiana War Memorial. We'll actually run folks up the steps of the War Memorial, which is not an easy task if you've seen how tall that is. And then into the American Legion Mall, where we plan to set up a series of fun obstacles for folks to run over and challenge them in a unique way. And then the third aspect, we've engaged the Arts Council of Indianapolis to activate the canal, where there will be an immersive art experience as folks finish by running along the canal and then through the Indiana State Museum, which we're really excited about.
Oh, they're going to run through the State Museum?
Yes, indeed. We're actually planning an activation where the State Museum will run folks through time is the concept. So they'll have people in character as they run through the museum and up the steps and really make it feel like they're running through time as they conclude the race. So that's the last stop along the route.
Wow. So we've got a 6-mile course that seems to hit just about every major point in the downtown area, right?
That's correct.
How many people do you expect to have show up for this?
Our goal is 3,000. We're capping it at 3,000 for the first year, being an inaugural event. We want to make sure that operationally and logistically it's very smooth. So we're putting a 3,000 cap for this first year.
And if people want to sign up for that, how many people have committed to do it already?
We're up over 1,200 already, so we're really excited about that and really confident we can get to that 3,000 number.
Okay, so you've got 1,200. And if people want to go sign up, where do they go do that?
They can go to IndyUltimate.com, mm-hmm. and also they can find more information at our website, which is IndianaSportsCorp.org. But IndyUltimate.com is where they can register, and those registrations are going quickly, so we'd encourage people to get on it if they're planning on running the race.
What's the cost, or is there a cost?
There is. It's currently $85 until the end of the month, and then we'll go into our late registration, which jumps up to $95. So, again, we recommend people signing up early to have a little cost savings.
And is it open to people of all ages, all of that? Do you have to be at a certain fitness level?
Open to anybody and everybody as long as you're 12 years old or older. But we've seen people register from ages 12 all the way up to people in their 70s. So really excited about that. And then in terms of fitness, we really anticipate that we'll get all different types of people and of all different athletic skill sets. So whether you're a big-time athlete that runs every weekend or you're just somebody that is a fan of these sports and wants to get on the field, it's open to anybody and everybody.
Okay, and I do want to dive into the larger subject we talked about, about how sports have kind of become, fuel or energy or whatever for the development of the city. But I am fascinated just by the idea of this race and mm-hmm. the logistical pieces of it. So can you walk me through, the first stop is Carroll Stadium. Where you attempt to kick the soccer ball. Are there just going to be rows of soccer balls set up, or do you have to go grab your own and kick it from wherever you want, or how is that going to be done?
Yeah, so you mentioned the logistics of it, and as I mentioned earlier, it's a 6-mile course, so a lot of planning has been underway over the past couple months, meeting with our different venue partners, but specifically at Carroll Stadium, we'll have 10 soccer goals set up at Carroll Stadium on event day, and tons of soccer balls and volunteers resetting the soccer balls over and over. As Craig mentioned earlier, our participants will get one attempt at a soccer goal, and then they'll keep on running, make or miss. So, like I said, with the goal of 3,000 people, we're sending people off in waves of 75 mm-hmm. every 5 minutes. And so that way, logistically, we can make sure that the participant experience is great and that people are not waiting at each of these stops once they arrive there.
And is there a point system? I mean, is it a competition in that do you get extra points if you make the goal as opposed to missing it?
We plan on timing the event so our participants know, especially for the competitive racers out there, they know how well they did amongst the field. But in terms of scoring, we really want the point and the goal of this event to be the experience that you take away from it. So there's not a point structure for the different challenges. It's just a way to experience these different activities along the route. And as Chris mentioned, the one attempt will really help keep flowing the racers as they go along the route.
And so, okay, so we go from Carroll then to Victory Field, where you just you run around the bases, and I'm sure you run into the field, basically come out another exit, right?
Yeah, and before we get to Victory Field, we're actually going to run people through the White River State Park. So
okay.
There are some stops along the course where we're highlighting that we're just running past, which are iconic landmarks throughout the city, and then other stops throughout the course that we're actually running into. So before we get to Victory Field, we'll actually run through the White River State Park, past the Indianapolis Zoo, and also there past the NCAA Hall of Champions, which is right there in the park area, and then into Victory Field where, like you said, they'll have the opportunity to get down on the field and run the bases.
And then from there you go to Lucas Oil,
yep,
right?
Yep, so we'll continue along West Street there and run south there to Lucas Oil Stadium, where participants will enter the stadium via the southwest ramp area where the players typically enter the field. So that'll be a pretty cool experience, kind of get the feel like you're a Colts player running out and through the tunnel on game day.
And how are you going to have them kick field goals? I mean, are you going to have like 75 different Pat McAfee standing there holding the ball for you or what?
Yeah, that's a great question. We have actually divided it up
and
so that we have different committees for each venue. And so our committees are working hard to work through the logistics of all of the different stops along the way. But the plan right now is to set up 20 different tees at each field goal post at either end of the field. And similar to what we're doing at Carroll Stadium, we'll have tons of footballs and tons of volunteers resetting footballs to give participants an opportunity to attempt one field goal as they enter Lucas Oil Stadium and then make their way throughout the rest of the course.
Okay. So you kick your field goal, you try to, or you know, if they can't get all the balls teed up, we resuscitate the fine art of the drop kick.
That's
right. Along the way.
That's right.
Or forgotten. And then from there, you go to Banker's Life, right?
Yep, but there is one stop before we get to Banker's Life, which we're going to highlight Georgia Street, which, as you probably know, is home to many of the events we host downtown in Indianapolis. And so while we're not able to actually run out to the Motor Speedway for this event, since we are incorporating all of our major landmarks throughout the city, we reached out to the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and said, we'd love you to be involved in this event. So we are going to stop on Georgia Street before we get to Bankers Life Fieldhouse, and IMS will be set up there with a really cool activation featuring an Indy car and a pit wall.
And then once you get to Bankers Life, where are you taking the shot from? Anywhere you choose, or is it a free throw? Is it a three-point shot?
It'll be a free throw. Yep.
Okay.
Yep, a free throw shot. Again, one attempt to keep the pace moving, keep it flowing. But yeah, it'll be a free throw.
Who came up with this idea?
This was something that, together with our president, Ryan Vaughn, Sports Corp really wanted to create another event that was enabled us to connect to individuals throughout the community. And as we looked at different activities, we knew the mudder races had become really popular, and we liked the idea of a health and wellness event that connected to sports. We wanted to utilize our existing relationships and partnerships with a lot of these venues and then also some of our cultural partners to create an experience that allows us to showcase downtown Indianapolis and the city of Indianapolis in a unique way, because that's really just as important as the events that we host. We're using sports as a way to promote Indy as a great place to live and to visit.
It sounds like you're going to have to have as many staff and volunteers, at least as many as you're going to have participants. Is that the case?
That is correct. We've actually worked through our volunteer needs, and we're up over 500 right now, may get as many as 600. So we'll be releasing that to the public shortly. If you're interested in volunteering for the event, those positions will be open to the public here in the next couple of weeks, but definitely over 500 positions needed.
What's the cost of trying to pull an event like this together? I mean, in some ways, when you look at all these different venues, I don't think $85 covers it.
It's a large undertaking, and we are fortunate to have great relationships with a lot of our venue partners and the entities involved with this event. But as we get closer to the event, we are seeing the expense of the event is increasing, as I'm sure you could imagine. But it's one that we're very confident that will be a great experience for not only the participants but the city as well. So the Sports Corp is excited about hosting this event and plan to host this event for future years.
So it'll be an annual event going forward.
That's correct.
Are you in any way held hostage by the weather if we have a downpour or whatever? What does that do to you on the 30th?
Like most of our outdoor events, it's a rain or shine event. Okay. We do.
So come with a poncho, basically.
That's correct. Yeah. Okay. As you can imagine, there isn't a rain date with this because it's such a large undertaking. But yeah, we're excited to host it on the 30th of April.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Indiana Sports Corporation and the new Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org or find us on social media. My guests are Craig Lippincott and Chris Panyard of the Sports Corporation. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of thestatehousefile.com, and your host. We're talking about the Indiana Sports Corporation's new Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race and really everything sports here in Indianapolis and Indiana. We walked through the race just a few minutes ago. My guests are Craig Lippincott, who is the Sports Corporation's Director of Business Development, and Chris Panyard, who is the event manager for the Sports Corporation. So you get this big event. Probably ought to talk a little bit about, you know, how it fits into the mission of the Sports Corporation and really what the Sports Corporation's mission is. Craig?
Absolutely, yeah. Indiana Sports Corp, our role in the community is to bid on and attract major world-class sporting events to the community as a way to drive economic impact and tourism, as well as attract media attention to the city and the state, and also to support our youth through sports and activities that we create around these major events. And so the Indy Ultimate really is a great fit with our corporate mission in that it's going to highlight downtown Indianapolis in such a unique way and connect city partners really as we never have before, with this many different community groups involved hosting one single event. It's a great showcase of how our city's designed to host these major events with our sports venues and our attractions in such close walking proximity, and also how our community partners are able to come together on an event of this magnitude will really help us in terms of hosting and bidding on future events to explain and showcase how well our city has worked together to put on these big events.
Does every city or every major city have an organization like the Sports Corporation?
So Indiana Sports Corp, we started the industry. We were the first sports commission in the country. And since 1979, when we were founded, there are now over 500 sports commissions throughout the country. We're still the largest in terms of staff and just the scope of work that we do. But most major cities do have an organization like ours. Other convention and visitors associations also have sports entities involved that bid on events such as we do.
So that's a major we're talking in the last 35 years or so. This whole sort of institutional, I'm even struggling for the right kind of terms to describe this, has evolved. It's like a little mini industry unto itself, except presumably the most of them are not-for-profit or government agencies, right?
They are, yeah. And we're working on behalf of the community, the Sports Corp is, and while sports is the draw and what attracts visitors to come for our events and for the media to shine a positive light on Indianapolis, the end goal is really to develop a better community for our folks who live here, a vibrant place to live, and also to attract tourism and ultimately businesses to bring their headquarters here because of Indianapolis being showcased through our sporting events that we host.
How much business does how, I guess another way to ask this is, how large a slice of the Indianapolis, central Indiana, Indiana economy is sports right now?
So sports tourism and the tourism industry is the seventh largest industry in our community, and Sports Corp is a part of that. Visit Indy certainly is a part of that, bringing conventions here. But what we do, what Visit Indy does, they really work hand in hand. When you're bringing large organizations, large conventions to the community, we want to put forth our best effort in terms of being providing a welcoming experience, providing a downtown that is clean and accessible for those folks that are here for the sports events that we host or the conventions that are in town. And that has a cyclical effect. It just leads to future event bids that we're able to go for, or future conventions or groups to bring their events and activities here to the city.
When you say it's seventh largest, can you quantify that in terms of, you know, how many dollars, or is is there data that, is reflective?
Since our since Sports Corp was founded, our events that we've hosted have led to over $4 billion in direct economic impact, which has come from the tourism that is led from the folks that are coming in from out of town, and then the events that we're hosting here in town.
So is that $4 billion since 1979?
Since 1979.
Okay, and does that include, like, the, you know, the ongoing professional sports here, or is that exclusive of?
That's from Indiana Sports Corp and the events that
Okay, so it's not the entire sports world.
Exactly. Then.
It's just the Indiana. So how do you make the distinctions between Indiana Sports, what you consider Indiana Sports Corp activity, and, you know, what might be just the fact that the Colts bring tons of people downtown?
Sure. The events that we host are, for the most part, they're not annual events. We bid on events that are either national or international events for the most part. Several events that we have brought to the city are NCAA championships, such as the men's Final Four last year, the upcoming women's Final Four that takes place the first week of April this year that we're really excited about. We have a great partnership with the Big Ten Conference and are hosting this week the Big Ten Women's Basketball Tournament. And next week we have the Big Ten Men's Tournament, and there's a lot of activities surrounding those. And really our role, once we win a bid for those events, is to be the local host for the rights holder of the event. So for the Big Ten Conference, we're the local group helping implement the plans of the event, and then also creating a unique experience for Indy when the event is here in town. So we plan a lot of community activities, youth activities surrounding these tournaments. So it's not just the game itself. It's really a community-wide activity, and something that even if you're not attending the basketball game or the football game, something you can still be a part of.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about the Indiana Sports Corporation and some of the big events coming up, including the Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race, which is going to be next month on April 30th. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. So, Chris, of these events, which ones are the most complicated to execute?
Yeah, I think the obstacle course, which we haven't really gotten to yet, but right after they leave Bankers Life Fieldhouse, they'll actually run up the steps of the Indiana War Memorial and then into the American Legion Mall. And that will be a
We're going to have the paramedics standing by.
We certainly will. Okay. We certainly will. But we are planning to do an obstacle course in the American Legion Mall with some pretty cool activities. So those will not be required of the participants. If they'd rather just keep on running, that's okay by us. But for those that are looking for a little bit more of a challenge, we'll have some pretty cool things in store.
The inspiration, I mean, this sounds like almost a cross between, you know, Survivor and American Ninja Warrior and all of that. I mean, where did the idea generate? Not the sort of the inspiration for creating a course like this.
Yeah, we work so closely with our partners on all the various events. You know, we work closely with Lucas Oil Stadium to host events like the Big Ten Football Championship game and Bankers Life Fieldhouse on events like the Women's Final Four and the Big Ten Basketball Tournament. So we said, why not pull all of our partners together to execute one event and work together to do something really cool and unique? And I think one of the things that's really cool about the Indy Ultimate is that the way Indianapolis is set up is that all the venues are so close to one another that we're actually a city that can pull this off. Mm-hmm. Whereas your other major cities around the country may not have their football stadium and their basketball court, their basketball arena so close to one another, so that it would be difficult logistically for them to pull it off. But since our venues are so close to one another, we're able to work together and make it happen.
What will constitute success? How will you consider the Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race a success?
This first year especially, we want to make sure that every participant has a great time and really embraces the city like they haven't before. They experience the city in a unique way. So one aspect of the event that we haven't talked about yet that we're really excited about is we're encouraging participants, if they'd like to carry their phone and tweet photos of themselves along the route and really promote, you know, not only the event, but the activities that they're doing in our city. We want that to be something that they're talking about and to create this social conversation while the event's actually taking place. So I think if everyone who runs the race has a better sense of pride for the city that they live in or they're visiting that day, then it'll certainly be a success in our book.
So it's not necessarily something you can quantify. You're not looking, it sounds like, to generate a profit off of it, or just to have the event break even and, you know, everybody go home feeling better about Indianapolis.
Yeah, Indiana Sports Corp, we are a not-for-profit organization, and events like the Indy Ultimate help sustain our larger mission of attracting these world-class events to the city. But for especially this first year, we want this event to go off without a hitch. We fully expect it to be a great success in that regard. And we want to make sure that we're creating an experience that highlights Indianapolis in a very unique way.
Well, and really it sounds like also the connection of sports to the development of the city and the state. And that's something we probably ought to, you know, the fact that we did have the first such sports corporation in the country was part of a strategy of sorts. Mm-hmm. I mean, those of us who are of a certain age remember when, you know, that was Indianapolis's calling card. We were going to establish Indianapolis as the amateur sports capital of the world. That was the phrase. And at the time, part of the beauty of the strategy was that no one else was really competing for that, had thought of that, mm-hmm. and saw the possibilities. Over time, I think that changed, that the competition got more severe. But could you talk a little bit about what that strategy of really using sports to develop not just the city and the state, but specifically downtown Indianapolis, which was, you know, almost a ghost town when all of this started, how that has worked and what the impact has been?
Yeah, it's been crucial for the development of our downtown. If you step outside of an office building in downtown Indianapolis now, it certainly looks different than it did 20 years ago or even 10 or 15 years ago. And sports has really been the driving force in a lot of ways for that change of our city. The impact from not only these events that we are hosting, but just the vibrancy of the community that they've created has made Indianapolis a place that people not only want to visit, but ultimately our goal is to make it a place people want to live, as you're seeing all sorts of tech companies that are being developed here in the community, and talent is being attracted to work here in downtown Indianapolis, we want to make sure that we're not only providing a place that people are being attracted to work, but have a place that they're actually enjoying living. And the sporting events that we're able to bring to the city really go hand in hand with creating that culture that a young professional wants to experience. Whether you're a sports fan or not, when a Final Four or the women's Final Four or a Big Ten basketball tournament is in town, there's just an energy to the community. And Sports Corp, a big part of our role is to really embrace that that energy by transforming street signs downtown and really creating a lot of public events surrounding these activities to really embrace the momentum of those sporting events while they're here in town. And again, this Indy Ultimate really was kind of stemmed from that that mindset that we have such a great city that's been developed over these 35 years that we want to be able to showcase that and really maximize the impact we're able to make using a sporting event, but also tying into our cultural assets in downtown and highlighting our great military heritage that's here in downtown.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the Indiana Sports Corporation and all of the big sporting events coming up here in Indianapolis, starting with the, well, I guess it wouldn't be starting with because it's really the Big Ten championships are in the next couple of weeks, but in the next month after that, the Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. Angela, welcome to the program.
Thank you for putting me on the show. I appreciate it.
Certainly.
I did have a quick question. It sounds like a really cool event. I wouldn't call myself the most athletic of persons, but am I able to still participate if I keep up a nice tick and able to run around a little bit?
Thanks very much for the call and the question, Angela. Chris, I'll throw that one your way.
Yeah, thanks, Angela, for the call. Great question. We're just asking that you maintain an 18-minute pace per mile. So as long as you may run or walk the event, but as long as you can complete each mile in 18 minutes or less, then it's all yours.
So you're looking at then that the event could go for a couple of hours then, right? Because if I do my math, 6 times 18 is an hour and 48 minutes.
Yes, that's correct. And as I mentioned earlier, we are sending people off in waves. So we'll send people off in waves of 75 every 5 minutes, starting at 8 a.m. up until 11:15 a.m. And then, like you said, it could take certain people up to almost a couple of hours to complete the course. So we're really talking about 8 a.m. to just after 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So we're taking up a large part of the morning and into the afternoon.
And are there places, you said there were activities at the conclusion where, you know, people are encouraged to experience the cultural life of Indianapolis. Will part of that cultural life involve food, since it sounds like many of them are going to be wrapping up right around lunchtime?
That's right. We'll have a post-race party in Military Park. So that will include food trucks. We'll have one of our sponsors is Dos Equis. So every participant will get a complimentary beer. And it'll really
They're over 21.
Provided they're over 21. Correct. Okay. Correct.
Yeah.
And then it'll just be a really fun atmosphere to celebrate everybody's success. So we'll have activations throughout Military Park. We'll have live music, a DJ. It'll be a really, really fun atmosphere and a, just, like I said, a celebration of the completion of the course.
So how long will the party go on then after the, you know, the racing is over? Because it sounds like you say you're going to be starting waves all the way up until like 11 o'clock in the morning. So if they take two hours, that's 1 o'clock or so when they finish.
Party will end right around 3 in the afternoon. So once participants cross the finish line, we'll have that great atmosphere for them to kind of unwind, meet up with their friends and family members, and enjoy the activities that we have planned in the post-event party.
We are talking about the Indiana Sports Corporation's ambitious agenda for the next few months. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at No Limits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Craig Lippincott. He is the Sports Corporation's Director of Business Development, and Chris Panyard, who is the Sports Corporation's event manager. I'm John Krall. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking about the Indiana Sports Corporation and its calendar of events. We're particularly featuring the upcoming and inaugural Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race, which is going to be on April 30th. My guests are Craig Lippincott, who is the Indiana Sports Corporation's Director of Business Development, and Chris Panyard, who is the Sports Corporation's Event Manager. And we've got an email question from a listener. If you would like to reach out to us by email, you can find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. Says, John Krall, please pose this to your two guests. Why does the six-mile course ignore the Athenaeum? William, I'm also going to paraphrase this, not because your question isn't well-framed, because I doubt my ability to get through some of the German appropriately. But it says, it contains the city's oldest gymnasium, completed in 1894. It was built by the German Turner Club, and the Turners were pioneers in the city and the United States in physical education. It's now part of IUPUI. There are all sorts of – it's a legitimate and significant Indianapolis landmark.
Yeah, it's a great question, and when we were looking to form the route for the Indy Ultimate, we knew that there was going to be some cultural and really great historic landmarks in the city that we weren't going to be able to incorporate into the route, just because we wanted to make sure it kept around a six-mile distance, and the fact that we are able to incorporate as many great venues as we are along this route really speaks a lot to our downtown's landscape and how many amazing assets there are within a six-mile loop. This route that we have this year might not be the same route that we have for future years when we host this event, but we are incorporating in our post-event party an area where a lot of our partners and great organizations are able to connect with our participants and host booths to promote their space and their organizations. So that's one aspect of the event that we're excited about. Indiana Humanities is involved in the event. As I mentioned earlier, the Arts Council of Indianapolis, Central Indiana Community Foundation is our presenting sponsor and are highly involved in the event as a way to really showcase the cultural trail along the route, which we're very excited about. So we knew that when we were going about creating an event such as the Indy Ultimate, there were going to be some venues that we couldn't incorporate. Chris mentioned the Indianapolis Motor Speedway being a little outside of our footprint, but we are looking for creative ways to activate those as many groups as possible, and we continue to look for new organizations to partner with and get involved in that way.
Was when you started the planning or the mapping process for this, I mean, did it start with, okay, we've got this set of landmarks and somehow we want to create kind of a, even if it's a zigzagging way of getting them in there, what landmarks, I mean, did you get all of them? Were all of these the original plan and the sum total of them, or were there a lot of them and then you had to drop some along the way to get to that 6 mile target? And I guess I probably should start. Why did you decide on 6 miles as opposed to 5 or 7 or 8?
We started with the sports venues. That's the partners that we work most consistently with at the Sports Corporation. We knew we wanted to engage the arts and cultural communities, so it was very important that we got the Arts Council involved early on in the planning process, and really liked the idea of promoting the public art that is on the canal in downtown Indianapolis, and the Arts Council has certainly had a major role in promoting public art in downtown Indy. CICF has had a major role in supporting the public art and the community as well, and so the partnership was natural there. And then as we went through our planning process, we started to really take a focus on the amount of military and historic monuments in Indianapolis, and we're excited to be able to showcase some of those along the route. The Soldiers and Sailors Monument on Monument Circle was an obvious one. It's such an iconic piece of our city's skyline that we wanted to make sure that our participants had a chance to embrace that. And then as we were planning out the route, Chris, myself, our president Ryan, and a few others, we actually rode the route. We didn't run it the first time we went to plan it out, but we rode the route on the Pacers bike shares, and really wanted to see firsthand what the experience the participants would have. And as we got to the Indiana War Memorial and the American Legion Mall in that space just north of the circle, that's when we all paused and thought, this is what this event's all about. These are landmarks that we drive past every day when we're coming into work, and we notice them, but we don't fully soak in how special they are. If we were visiting another city and saw a structure like the Indiana War Memorial, it'd be something that you spent, you know, a good portion of your day just taking in and enjoying. And we want this to be an event where it is a vacation for those participants as they're running it in their own city. And that area specifically was one that we were very excited about. As Chris mentioned earlier, we're planning to place obstacles in the American Legion Mall as a way to really maximize the time that is spent in that area. We've partnered with the Indiana National Guard to involve them in that space as well with some activities that will roll out as we get closer to the event. But in terms of the footprint of the whole route itself, we were very pleased once we got to our final point with how many different cultural landmarks will be represented along these 6 miles. And 6 miles wasn't necessarily the magic number going into it. It was it became the magic number of what we wanted to keep within as we were finalizing the route. We knew that this is something that is going to attract not just runners, and we want it to be a distance that someone can walk and really feel like they can take in the whole fun aspects of the route, the cultural elements of the route, the military and the sports, and not be too burnt out once they finish if you're not an avid runner.
Chris, what's the landmarks along the way? Which one is going to be the most difficult to kind of patrol and maintain safety for people?
I think one that may be somewhat difficult will be the War Memorial, just because of the steps.
And the fact that it's coming at the end of the race when people are tired, too.
Exactly. So by the time you get there, off the top of my head, I think you're 3 to 3.5 or so miles into the course at that point. So like you said, they will be tired. They will have just completed that kind of 5K distance, knowing that they still have about half the course left. But we thought it was really cool, and we approached General Stuart Goodwin, who manages the War Memorial, the American Legion Mall, and the Soldiers and Sailors Monument on the Circle, and he was really thrilled that we wanted to include these landmarks throughout the route. And so when we were brainstorming, I think originally we had talked about, as we were plotting the course, originally it was running through American Legion Mall, and then we realized, why not have people run up the steps around and then back down? So it will be a fun challenge, I think. There are people that run the steps, I know, occasionally are in their mornings as part of their workout, but it'll be a really, really cool thing for people to be able to do that as long as they can get to the top and back down in a safe manner.
And between now and then, obviously, we've got the two Big Ten tournaments coming to town. I know that's actually in the law of unintended consequences. That's one of the reasons the legislature right now is working double time to try to get done, because they lose their hotel rooms when the men's tournament arrives. So, you know, in terms of the impact on the city of those events, could you talk a little bit about that? I mean, what is the value in having the Big Ten tournaments here?
What we love about hosting events like the Big Ten, where it's such a regional audience, these are folks coming in from Ohio, Minnesota, really all around the Midwest, and they're spending their dollars here in our restaurants, staying in our hotels, but we want to create an experience that goes beyond just the tournament itself. These folks live close enough that they might want to come back and visit our Children's Museum or the Indiana State Museum and come back to stay for another weekend down the road. And our role is to create an experience that really welcomes that. So we create a lot of activities that personalize the event here for those fans in the community. For the Big Ten basketball tournament, if you visit IndianaSportsCart.org, you can learn more about all the different community events that take place. We have restaurant pairings, so each school has a specific bar or restaurant that their team can host. And the restaurants, they do a great job of really making it unique to those schools they're hosting. Our volunteers certainly have been the backbone of our organization, really being our face in front of a lot of the visitors and being very welcoming. And so when we host these folks for an event like the Big Ten basketball tournament, it's always great to see them come back year after year, whether it's for another sports event or just to visit our city.
And, you know, the value in that, it sounds like, is that it establishes us as a regional power. Presumably, you know, we talked a little while ago about how when Indianapolis first settled on this strategy of defining itself as a sports capital, there weren't that many other places thinking, you know, in those terms. Now a lot of places think that way. How has that changed the game for the Sports Corporation and the folks who, you know, who want to try to bring these, because it, you don't have a wide open field anymore?
Sure. We've essentially been our toughest competitor. We've raised the bar on a lot of these events that Indianapolis and Indiana and the Sports Corp have hosted, and it's really been copied, or other cities have taken these activities that we've hosted around a championship like the Big Ten football championship, and really they've tried to mimic those activities. So we are constantly trying to innovate as we host these events. I referenced the Big Ten Football Championship. That's an event that we've hosted since its inception. And so each year we want to make sure we're creating programs, whether it's pep rallies or activities for the fans who might not be attending the game, that they can experience and really create a new interest for those fans that are coming in town for the games.
What's the most important, the biggest event for Indianapolis, the one that has the most impact?
The event recently that really has kind of set the standard was the Super Bowl in 2012. Indiana Sports Corp put the initial bid together to host that event, and then were very involved as the planning efforts took place. From a media standpoint, the amount of positive mentions that were made about Indianapolis and our community was really immeasurable, just how much of an impact that has had. I know our convention business has certainly increased since we hosted the Super Bowl, and just the amount of recognition that our city has gotten as a place to host a conference, to host a sporting event, it's really set Sports Corp up to be able to go out and look for other major events and really have that as a nice feather in our cap for the scope of work that we're able to pull off when we're hosting events in a community.
Because we hear a lot from members of the business community who've said this on this show as well, the conventions and took a hit over the whole Religious Freedom Restoration Act squabble and the ongoing sort of disputes we have about civil rights questions for LGBTQ citizens here in the state. Did that make the Sports Corporation's task more difficult, or did it not really have an impact?
It's no secret that there were some difficulties surrounding that for the tourism industry and folks. The overall impression of Indiana in Indianapolis at that time, but it was positioned at a time when it was right on the doorstep of the men's Final Four, and really gave us an opportunity to showcase what Indiana is all about, what our community here in Indianapolis is all about. And from a timing standpoint, it worked out to be a very positive experience, where the Final Four, which is one of the largest platforms to showcase our community, was right after the major tipping point of the Riffer conversation, and allowed Indy to really do what we do best: welcome visitors in a very positive way, showcase that Hoosier hospitality that has had such a strong reputation over the years. And clearly, we were able to help change that narrative by hosting one of the most successful men's Final Fours last year. And we're hoping to do the same again this year for not only the Big Ten events, the Indy Ultimate, but the women's Final Four this coming April.
And we should, we're getting a little bit tight on time. We're getting toward the end here. Once again, if, you know, we're talking about a six-mile race that includes major sports landmarks here in the city. Chris, can you tick off what the landmarks are again real quickly? And the date is April 30th, right?
That's right. April 30th of this year, the event will start at 8 a.m. You can find more information at IndyUltimate.com. But it will include stops at Carroll Stadium, the home of Indy 11. They'll have the opportunity to attempt a soccer goal there. They'll then run through White River State Park and past the NCAA Hall of Champions and the Indianapolis Zoo into Victory Field. Well, they'll have the opportunity to run the bases at Victory Field, the home of the Indianapolis Indians. From there, they'll actually run into Lucas Oil Stadium, where they'll have the opportunity to kick a field goal. One attempt per person to keep the flow moving. And then up to Georgia Street, as we mentioned earlier on the program, where the Indianapolis Motor Speedway will be set up with a pretty cool activation involving an Indy car and a pit wall. And then into Bankers Life Fieldhouse, where they'll have a chance to attempt a free throw. And then from there, as we talked about earlier, we'll highlight our city's military heritage, where they'll run around Monument Circle, up the steps of the War Memorial, and into American Legion Mall, where we'll have some really cool obstacles set up. And then finally, to highlight a lot of the arts and culture that make our city great, we'll run down onto the canal, where we're working with the Arts Council of Indianapolis to make that a really cool area with music and some actual live art pieces on display. And then finally, running through the Indiana State Museum, where it'll be positioned as a run-through time to conclude the route. And then into Military Park, where we'll have a really fun party.
And again, that's on April 30th, and the cost is $85 up to the end of this month, right? I'd like to thank my guests, Craig Lippincott and Chris Panyard, both of the Indiana Sports Corporation, for walking us through the new Indy Ultimate Urban Adventure Race. I am John Krall. You've been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Melissa Davis. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.